Prophetic School, Part 11. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, I'm grateful and excited about sharing with you different lessons on the prophetic ministry, prophets, personal prophecy. And I've just returned from the Netherlands, where we had a great, great time there with Dominion Center. And I actually did an evening, prophetic activation. And we're doing more and more prophetic activations in our Tuesday evening services. Is rising in our city and around the world and around the country, and I'm so grateful for your tuning in to this part number 11. If you've missed the first parts of the teachings, you can always go to johneckhartministries.com and you can view them free of charge, the first 10 lessons on prophetic school. And of course, this will also be included shortly, part 11. Also, for those who are just tuning us in for the first time, or if you've been watching us for a period of time and have not yet ordered our companion book that I've been teaching briefly from, it's called God Still Speaks, and this is the book that I've written on the subject of prophetic ministry. And I would encourage you to get a copy of it, to read it in your spare time, your personal time of study. And I know that you will gain much, much insight on the prophet's prophetic ministry as a result of getting a copy of this book. And you can go straight to my website at www.johneckhartministries.com and just go to the bookstore and order the book, God Still Speaks, How to Hear and Receive Revelation from God for Your Family, Church, and Community. And this book has been doing so very well around the country and around the world. Many have read it, said they've been blessed by it and learned so much concerning prophets and prophetic ministry. So I really encourage you to get a copy of this particular book. Also, before I start, if you are planning on attending our Surge 2014 conference in the Chicago area in Maryville, Indiana, the dates are June 24th through the 28th. Registration is now open and available for those who want to be a part of that particular conference. You can go to impactnetwork.net, or you can just simply go to my Facebook page and see the link. We've been promoting it now for several weeks, and many are registering, people coming from around the world to our Surge 2014 conference, prophetic worship, prophecy, personal prophecy, deliverance, preaching, teaching. It's a phenomenal time, and I want to encourage you to join us for Surge 2014. Again, the dates are June 24th through the 28th, and that's in Maryville, Indiana. But you do need to register for the day sessions. The night sessions are open to all, but we have 14 speakers coming from all over the country and around the world that will be ministering, and also great musical guests. So I want to invite you to be a part of our Surge 2014 Apostolic Prophetic Gathering this year. Now, today I'm going to talk about both the ministry of the prophet and the power of personal prophecy. I'm going to combine the two and talk about how prophecy... we know that it releases edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So we know one of the greatest benefits of prophecy is that it exhorts, it edifies, and it comforts the believer. That's personal prophecy, corporate prophecy. We've talked about that in our previous lessons. I'm not going to go over that again. Prophecy releases courage and strength, not only to individuals, but also to local churches. If we're going to have strong churches, there are people that are encouraged and strengthened. We do need the ministry of the prophet to be available in the local church. Now, in the New Testament, we know, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, that Jesus gave five ministries when he ascended. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we know that, of course, in the New Testament, there's probably more about apostles than any other ministry. But there are prophets that are mentioned in the New Testament. One of the most prominent prophets was Agabus, found in the book of Acts. And we also have, in Acts chapter 13, prophets and teachers mentioned before the sending out of Paul and Barnabas into their apostolic ministries. As they gathered and ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to." And they were sent out by the church. Then it says they were sent out by the Holy Ghost. prophets and teachers were ministering in the church at Antioch. But then there are also two prophets mentioned in Acts chapter 15, and these two prophets are by the names of Silas and Judas. It's Acts 15 in verse 32. It says, Silas and Judas, who were also prophets, said many things to encourage the believers and make them stronger in their faith. That's the easy read version. The King James version, which most of us are familiar with, says this: Judas and Silas, who were also prophets, said many things to encourage the believers and make them Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So it tells us that one of the things that prophets have the ability to do is to bring confirmation to a local church. That word confirm also is translated as, in one translation, Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, spoke a long time with them, giving them courage and strength. And so we see that to confirm means to give courage. It means to give strength. Now, let's look at the context of these verses and understand that, of course, in the early church, many of the local churches were experiencing a great amount of persecution. Many of them were going through a great amount of tribulation. And also, many of them were going through a great challenge concerning doctrine. And the basis of these particular ministries is that in Acts chapter 15, we find that the apostles and elders gathered together to discuss the question as to whether or not new believers, especially Gentile believers, had to keep the law of Moses in addition to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. One of the challenges of the early church was the area of the law, whether or not the law was valid for Gentiles, whether or not Gentiles had to keep the law, whether or not they had to be circumcised and keep the Sabbath, and other requirements of the law that many Jews were keeping, whether or not that was valid. And of course, Paul and Barnabas felt that it was not. It was not a message of the grace of God. And when they went to Jerusalem to discuss this issue with the apostles and the elders, the result was that they would not put that on the Gentiles. They would not put them under the yoke of the law. And so they sent out Barnabas and Silas to these churches to bring a letter to teach the churches what the apostolic decree was, what the apostles had agreed upon. And that strengthened these churches because many of the churches were confused. There were people going to these churches, following the apostles, teaching them that, you know, you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And you had to be circumcised. And it brought a lot of confusion and uncertainty into many local churches. And so Judas and Silas were those that were ordained to carry the message of the Jerusalem Council to the local churches. And it says that when they went, they spoke to these churches and confirmed them, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them or strengthened them or encouraged them or brought them courage. And so one of the things we see from the prophet's ministry, and it mentions that these two were prophets, that when they went and spoke to these churches, that it brought great strength, confirmation, and courage to local assemblies. Now, one of the things we learn from this is that churches that are experiencing trouble, churches that are experiencing tribulation, persecution, churches that are experiencing uncertainty because of maybe doctrines or wind of doctrine that has come into the church that has caused people to be uncertain, those churches do need ministers often to come in to encourage them and to strengthen them. And one of those ministries is the prophet's ministry. Some people think that the prophet's ministry in the New Testament is to bring judgment or to bring condemnation, but it's not. It's to bring courage and strength. Often pastors are afraid of prophets because they feel that prophets are going to... Prophets have a great degree of anointing to bring courage and strength to the local church. Let me read something that I took from a webpage, and this was from propheticchicago.com and Rusty Wimberly. And I like the way he talked about how prophets bring encouragement to the local church. Encouragement of the brethren is an important aspect of the prophetic ministry. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who prophesies edifies or builds the church. The words of the prophets will build up and strengthen the church. This will be especially important in times of trial and tribulation. In other words, when churches are really going through a season of trial or testing, or whether it's doctrinal, whether it's just an attack on the church, whether it's division, whether it's confusion, whether it's persecution, when church is going through that, we allow prophets to come in to prophesy, teach, minister, and bring encouragement and courage to the local assembly. God does not want local churches to fall prey and victim to the spirits of discouragement, depression, frustration, hopelessness, despair. These are spirits that the enemy would try to use to beat down a church. God wants churches to be strong, edified, exhorted, and comforted. And so he uses the ministry of the prophet. Now, all ministries can bring this. Apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors can also bring encouragement, instruction, doctrine, comfort. So we're not saying that the other ministries can't do that. But we're emphasizing the prophet's ministry as a ministry that is really anointed by God to bring courage and strength and really confirmation to a local assembly. And so let me say this again. The words of the prophets will build up and strengthen the church. This will be especially important in times of trial and tribulation. Silas, to encourage the church in Antioch, Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brethren. That's in Acts 15 and 32. The scriptures give a number of examples of prophets who encouraged the leaders of their nation to act boldly. Now, one of my favorite verses is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 1. Well, the word of the Lord that came to Asa, the king. Asa was met with a challenge of a great army coming against him, and God used a prophet to minister to him. The prophet came through Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet. It says in 2 Chronicles 15. Let me read it straight from the scriptures, because I want to amplify and I often use this these verses when I'm teaching on our prophets, bring courage to especially to leaders and pastors. I'm convinced that all leaders, all pastors, all apostles need strong prophets around them, because there are times when we face challenges in life where we need the strength of the prophet. We need the encouragement of the prophet. We need the courage that comes from the prophetic word. And so I want to read the context here. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. This is the prophet speaking to Asa, the king of Judah. As in those times there was no peace to him, they went out, and nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Verse number 7, "Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah. So let me make a correction. In this case, it was not an army coming against him. It was a case of this king wanting to bring change to the nation and wanting to bring reformation and remove the idols from the land. And of course, when you as a leader begin to make change, sometimes you receive opposition from those who do not want change. And so Asa was probably hesitant in really bringing a change. Israel had already forsaken God for a period of time, and here's a godly king coming now, and he is about to bring reformation, about to bring change, and it takes a great amount of courage to do that. There are many leaders that often will be faced with situations in their city, their region, their local church, who need to bring reformation and bring change, but feel as if I take this step, I'm going to receive opposition. So is it really, do I have the strength or the power? Will God be with me if I really do this? Because I may lose some people. It may offend some people. And so Asa, in making this decision, is encouraged by the prophet. And notice what he says, therefore, in verse 7, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." That's the prophetic word to this king. Be strong. Don't be weak. In other words, do it. And if you do it, I will reward you. And verse 8 says, "When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage." It brought courage to him. And he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And so here's an example of how a prophet and how prophetic ministry can encourage and bring strength to a leader. One of the things that you need if you're going to lead people is you need courage. You need courage to obey God. And often, again, we're challenged with opposition. The enemy does not like leaders to make the right decisions, especially when it means upsetting or bringing change to those who do not want change. And so prophets are very instrumental in ministering to leaders, and ministering to pastors, and ministering to apostles, and ministering to bishops and leaders who are about to embark on a change of doing in the land of Israel. He's about to put away the idols. He's about to bring reformation. He's about to gather the people. He's about to say, look, we're not going to continue worshiping idols. We're going to make a change. We're going to obey God. But evidently, he was a young king, and it was a major decision he's about to make. And so God, the Spirit of God, came upon this prophet to begin to prophesy to him. And it says, when he heard the words of the prophet, he took courage. What a powerful example of what prophets and prophetic ministers do. They bring courage to us. Often people, when they receive prophetic ministry, either from a prophet or through personal prophecy, will take courage. Because all of us are challenged when it comes to obedience and obeying God. Sometimes God will have you to do something very drastic and something very life-changing. It is the example I often give. And often when I'm prophesying, the Lord gives me a word for people saying that you're going to get out of the boat and walk on the water. That's exactly hearing the Lord say, come, and yet he's in a boat. The Lord is on the water. He's got to step out of the boat and begin to walk on water. Now, that's impossible in the natural. Who steps out of a boat in the middle of a storm and walks on water? Only someone who hears the word of the Lord. And so Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk on the water because he heard the Lord telling him to do it. But sometimes obeying God is like that. You're in a boat. You're in a place of safety. You're in a place of comfort. And then God speaks to you or lays on your heart to do something, and you're not really sure. Is this really God? Is it really safe for me to get out of this boat? Is it safe for me to get out of my comfort zone? But one of the things the prophetic does is it brings courage to you. I'm amazed at how prophecy speaks to people. And often when you're prophesying to people or leaders or churches, you don't have any idea what they're dealing with. They've not talked to you. They've not expressed to you what they're about to do. And the Lord will supernaturally give you a word that will speak directly, bring courage to them so they can get out of the boat and walk on the water. And God does that for us. He brings confirmation. He confirms what the Spirit of God is doing in our hearts. He confirms the leading of the Lord in our lives, even when we're doubting and hesitating and maybe afraid and maybe hesitant, because this is a big step. This is a major step. I've never done this before. Will it work? Will I fall? Will I fail? Is it really God? Is it the devil? Is it me? Is it my flesh? And you're weighing this, and you're trying to figure out, should I do this? It could be a marriage. It could be a ministry move. It could be a geographical move. It could be a career move. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes upon the prophet, and the prophetic word comes to confirm what God is speaking to you. Now, I do not believe that prophecy only confirms. There's some that say that prophecy will only confirm. I do believe that God can give you revelation and even speak to you in areas that you've never thought about or pondered. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But I do believe that one of the major aspects of prophets and prophetic ministry is to bring confirmation, to bring strength, to bring courage to individuals, because we need courage and we need strength to obey God, to step out, to do what God has called us to do. There's simply no way you will obey God without courage. A lack of courage will prevent you from obeying the Lord. And there are too many people, too many leaders that are battling fear and hesitancy, and they lack courage. What did God tell Joshua? He said, be strong and of good courage. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. The word of the Lord often is be strong, obey, step out, don't hesitate, don't be afraid. Be courageous. Be bold. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going before you. I'm strengthening you. It's God's way of speaking to us, to letting us know that we're not alone. Now, of course, we know that God is with us. We know that we're not alone. We understand that teaching. That's in the Word. And you wrestle with hesitancy because we're human. And God understands that. God doesn't condemn you for that. So God will encourage us and bring strength and confirmation to individuals, especially leaders who are about to make major decisions in their life. I would encourage you, if you are a leader or pastor at crucial times in your church, when your church is taking a new direction, when you're moving in a new area, when you're about to do something you've never done before, and the people may be with you, but they don't really have the faith or the strength to do it, that if you bring prophets into your church, if it's really of God, if what is happening is really from the Lord, prophets are not brought in just to support what you're doing. That's not what we're teaching. We're not saying that you can hire a prophet to come in and support what you're doing. If what you're doing is not of God, then of course it will not be confirmed by a prophet, a true prophet, and by the prophetic word. But if what you're doing is of God, no matter how impossible it looks, no matter how great it is, then so we see the ministry of the prophet in 2 Chronicles. We see the ministry of the prophet to encourage a leader, a king. We see the ministry of the prophet in Acts chapter 15 to strengthen and confirm and encourage churches. An entire church can be confirmed and be strengthened by the word of the Lord. Let me read on here. One of the pitfalls of many churches is the missing element of prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry can be such a blessing to churches in the sense that prophets have the ability to often bring encouragement, inspiration, and strength to a church that might be going through beginning stages or is in a season of a spiritual slump. Well, churches do go through seasons of what you can call a spiritual slump, when they just can't get out, when they're in a rut, when it looks like they're going backward instead of going forward, when they've hit a wall, when they've lost their momentum, they lost their strength, they lost zeal, they've lost their fire, they've lost their passion. And the leaders are trying to, you know, get the church to move forward. But somehow in the spirit, they're tired, they're weary, they're discouraged. Then maybe the enemy has used people to bring division or bring confusion to the church, or maybe the enemy has used people that are wicked to hurt the church and bring confusion to the leadership. Well, God can use the ministry of the prophet to bring, again, encouragement, inspiration, and strength to a church that is going through beginning stages or in a season of spiritual slump. I like that when a church begins, it's important to have prophets come in because the prophets will give that church the strength and the momentum. We don't want weak churches. We don't want a church to die because of weakness. We don't want a church to go out of existence because it doesn't have the strength to press through. And so when it's beginning or in a spiritual slump, the prophetic ministry is much needed. In fact, I dare to say that a church in this condition has a faint unless they bring in or have access to a true prophet to come and bring life into the congregation. So that's a powerful statement. Let me say this. I dare to say, and these are the words of Rusty Wimberly, I dare to say that a church in this condition has a faint chance of making it out. It's a church in a spiritual slump, a church that is weak, a church that is falling apart, a church that has hit a wall, a church that is dying, a church that is going backward, a church that is divided, having problems. It probably has a faint chance of making it out unless they bring in or have access to a true prophet to come in and bring life into that congregation. Because prophets have a grace of God to come in, to see what the problem is, to deal with the issues of the church, and sometimes through correction, adjustment, through repentance. Maybe the church needs repentance. Maybe people need to repent to one another. Maybe there are things that need to be broken in the spirit or challenged in the spirit. Sometimes it's witchcraft. Sometimes it's division. Sometimes it's religion. Sometimes it's pride. It's tradition. It's division. It's hurt. It's anger. It's bitterness. It can be a number of things that just sap the strength out of a church. And often what you need are true prophets that are able to come in to speak into that church the word of the Lord. What is God saying? What is the remedy? What is the solution? What is God's word for that particular house? And when you do that, it can bring that church out of a spiritual slump and really, really bring revival and glory to a church. You know, often we've been taught that evangelists are the ones that bring revival, but in reality, prophets are the ones that often bring revival. An evangelist can bring revival. An apostle can bring revival. But prophets, the reason why they often bring revival and refreshing or awakening, we use different to the root of the problem, to lay the axe to the root of the tree and begin to deal with the issues that are blocking and hindering people from moving into greater realms of glory. And also to bring repentance, to bring inspiration, to bring refreshing, to bring new life, to bring the reign of heaven through their ministry. What a powerful ministry, the ministry of the prophet, and also prophecy. Now, this is why I teach on it so much, because it is a vital yet often misunderstood ministry. Because often leaders, when they go to seminaries and they go to get trained in Bible colleges, they're taught about evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but they're not taught about ministries of apostles and prophets, especially prophets. Often they're afraid of prophets. They're afraid of the prophetic ministry because maybe they've seen false prophets or seen people that call themselves prophetic that are operating out of a wrong paradigm, an Old Testament paradigm of bringing judgment and condemnation and fire and brimstone. And so they backed away from prophets. But if you can get in touch with in the house of the Lord, it brings a new level of inspiration, encouragement. It edifies. It builds up the saints. And sometimes churches are just weak and tired. They've been burned out. They're frustrated. They're hurt. They're wounded. People get tired. Saints get tired. Maybe the church is going through a long period of attack and tribulation and discouragement and frustration. Maybe things have happened in the church. Maybe leaders have fallen and people have gotten involved in sin and it brought hurt and shame to a congregation. And people get discouraged. They get tired and their hands need to be lifted up and they need to be encouraged. They need the word of God. They need some supernatural breath of God to come in. Well, that's what prophets do. There's an anointing on prophets that will bring life and healing. Remember Ezekiel, when he prophesied, the dry bones came alive. Sometimes we see prophecy actually awakens and brings to life the dry bones. And if it's dead, if it's dry, there's no life in a church. People have given up. They're hopeless. They're discouraged. They're drifting away. They're backsliding. They're leaving the church. They're leaving God. There's the worship is dead. The preaching is dead. People are unresponsive. They're not excited. They've lost their zeal. Well, you need a prophet to come that will bring strength, that will bring confirmation, that will bring encouragement. Now, let me read the verses again, the foundational verses. Acts 15 and 32. Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That's the King James Version. The Easy Read Version says it like this. It says, Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, spoke a long time with them, giving them courage and strength. And then another translation says, Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, spoke a long, I'm sorry, the Judas and encourage the believers and make them stronger in their faith. Well, every church needs that. Every church needs members to be encouraged and made stronger in their faith. Now, remember in the book of Acts, the context is that these are all new churches. The apostles are starting new churches everywhere they go. These are infant churches. They're new churches, and they need to be strengthened. They need teaching. They need ministry. And what does God do? He sends in apostles to plant churches. He sends in prophets to bring confirmation. So here we see how apostles and prophets can work together. He sends prophets to strengthen, encourage, and edify these churches to make them strong. It's never the will of God for a new church that's started by him to die in infancy, to become discouraged. It's never that the will of God for members to lose hope, to become hopeless because of tiredness of persecution or because of attacks on the house of God. So thank God for the prophet's ministry. Now, if you have a prophetic anointing on your life, God will use you this way. It doesn't mean you have to have a major platform and speak before millions and thousands, but God will use you in local churches to strengthen pastors and strengthen leaders. I think you need to have a love for churches, a love for the house of God. I don't think you should have a desire to destroy churches and hurt churches. That is not of God. But I believe you should have a love for leaders, a love for apostles, prophets, leaders, fivefold ministers, a love for God's people, a love for the local church, a love to see churches strengthened. Now, you may have to bring correction. You may have to bring adjustment. Sometimes there needs to be repentance. Sometimes people just need an encouraging word from heaven, a word directly from heaven that strengthens, gives courage, and encourages them. And I've seen this happen. I've seen churches that hit a slump, and they were not growing. They were not breaking through. They were not breaking out. They were not experiencing momentum. I've seen prophets come in and bring refreshing and new life and courage to those local assemblies. And I've seen dramatic changes happen in the lives of leaders and pastors that have availed themselves to the prophet's ministry. So thank God for the prophet's ministry and thank God for the ministry of the prophets. If we honor these ministries, respect them, understand them, they can be a great, great blessing and a great asset to our local assemblies and to our local churches. Okay, I want to spend some time with your questions, and we have a few that are coming in. And let me begin with this question. Someone says, I just got ordained, I think as a prophet, but have been walking in the prophetic for about 8 years, teaching the prophetic, and now I have been asked to build up a prophetic team in our church where I am a pastor prophet. What are your suggestions on this, how to do it? Well, that's a great group. Things that prophets can do in local churches is to help develop the prophetic ministry. Now, remember, Samuel is an example of a prophet that was able to encourage other young budding prophets and teach them and train them. So one of the things you can do is, number one, those that are attracted to the prophetic ministry in your church, those who have a desire to learn the prophetic, I would encourage you to teach them, use books, get some good books. I always encourage Bishop Bill Hammond's book on prophets and personal prophecy, and begin to teach them. And then I also would encourage you to pray for them and impart into them a prophetic spirit. I would also encourage you to learn how to activate people in the prophetic, learn how to do prophetic exercises to get people prophesying. We can't teach people how to prophesy, but we can teach them how to hear God's voice and release what they hear so they can begin to do that by faith. If you don't know how to do that, I would encourage you to find someone who can do that. There are many ministries that are doing prophetic activation. You can even Google prophetic activation and see different prophetic exercises that you can take people through in your local assembly, and you can begin to do either a course on the prophetic in your church, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks, begin to activate, begin to teach, begin to train. And then I would encourage you to have, once people get activated in a team, it could be a small team at the beginning, it could be a medium-sized team, then have some time. Hopefully the leader of your church will give you a time where they can actually begin to minister. First, you learn how to minister to one another, but then have a chance where they can minister to the church and begin to exercise their gift and begin to flow, and then develop in the church sometimes when you have prophetic services to keep their gift sharpened and keep them moving in the prophetic, whether it's once a month once a week, whatever the strategy of your church is, to release more of the prophetic. Those are some of the suggestions I would give to you. But I definitely would say if you are an ordained prophet, you have a responsibility not to be the only prophet, but to raise up other young prophets. And everyone who prophesies is not a prophet, but even raise up prophetic ministers and other ministry gifts and just believers who will flow and will operate in the prophetic ministry. So thank you for that question. Here's a question. How literally should you take a prophetic word spoken to you by a prophet? Unless there's some words given to me use a lot of symbolism. Well, prophets sometimes do deal with symbolism. And, of course, some prophecies you can't take literally. I mean, if someone prophesies to me that I'm pregnant, of course, as a man, I can't be literally pregnant. It's just a word that he uses that I'm about to birth something. So, if the word is symbolic, then you have to take the symbolic meaning of the prophecy. You don't take it literally if it's symbolic. I mean, if God says you're going to fly like an eagle, you're not going to literally fly. If you're going to run through walls and leap over walls, you don't do that literally, but it's symbolic. And so just simply, figure out what is symbolic, what is not. Pray over your prophecy. If you have issues or questions, write it down. Transcribe it if you can. It's always good to tape a prophetic word. Write it down. Bring it to your leaders or bring it to maybe prophetic people in your church and ask them, what do you feel about this? Share it with other mature leaders and get some wisdom on how I can pray over this and walk in this, what is literal and what is symbolic. The main thing we need to do with the prophetic is always walk in wisdom. Don't do anything reckless or stupid with the prophetic word. Walk in wisdom. Use common sense. God's word will work out in your life. And don't be too overly concerned about all the words or details of a prophecy. Just walk in what you know. And, of course, take what is symbolic and believe it and walk in it. And you should be okay. All right, thank you for that, Denise. Here's a question. Can you speak into why God would speak to me so much in dreams prophetically, but not as much being able to speak prophetically in person? Well, that depends. If you're not around prophetic people, your chances are you're not going to get a lot of prophetic ministry or prophetic utterances. Whereby when you sleep, God can deal directly with you in dreams and visions. So I believe if God is dealing with you in dreams and visions, you're probably very prophetic, and you just have an ability, a very sensitive spirit to the things of God, especially in the night season. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to speak to you prophetically through other people. It may be that the people around you, or you're not in an atmosphere of the prophetic. There are a lot of churches where people have a great amount of dreams and visions, but if the prophetic level in the church is low and there's no prophetic release, chances are they won't get very much prophetic ministry. So the more the prophetic is developed in a local assembly, the more prophets and prophetic people that are prophesying, the more chances are you will get prophetic ministry. So don't be discouraged by that. For instance, I don't dream a lot, but I get a lot of prophetic ministry because I'm that if you do dream and have visions, you can have that as well as receive prophetic ministry on a consistent basis. So we're believing that the prophetic level will be raised around our country and around the world, which is one of the reasons why we're doing this prophetic school. All right, thank you for that particular question. Is it normal for a person that says, I don't need a prophetic word, I got the word of God? That's normal, but it's pride. If someone says, I don't need a prophecy, I got the word of God, what they're doing is they're eliminating a value part of prophets' ministry. One of the problems we're facing in the church today is that people who go to strong teaching churches or word churches emphasize the word of God, which is proper. Study the word, live on the word, and what they sometimes do is they put down the prophetic ministry because they're more of a teaching center. And I believe you should have teaching and the prophetic. Because prophecy is in Scripture. We do need prophecy. Remember, the Spirit of God is called a comforter. He's a comforter. And one of the ways God comforts us is through prophecy. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. If you begin to say, I don't need prophecy, I don't want anyone prophesying to me, I got the Word of God, then what you're going to end up doing is shutting off the prophetic from your life. And you can study the Word, live on the Word. We believe in that. But you're going to miss a very important part of what God has for you. Because the Word of God gives us principles. But the Word of God does not speak to every detail in your life. And this is an important part of what people don't understand about Scripture. The Scriptures give us principles, but it doesn't tell you who to marry. It doesn't tell you what your calling is. It doesn't give you every detail of your life. Every person has details that God wants to speak to, and that's why we need the prophetic word. As long as the prophetic word does not contradict Scripture, then we can receive it if it's really of God. So it's very dangerous when people say, I don't need prophecy. I really think it's pride, and I really think it's very dangerous because, again, you're eliminating the need to hear the voice of the Lord, and especially prophecy in your life. Okay, if prophets are anointed to strengthen and build others, where or for whom do prophets receive strength and encouragement? Well, they need to also receive prophetic ministry. And that's why I believe prophets should be around a prophetic company. Prophets should not be lonely, isolated ministers that all they do is minister to people, but no one ministers to them. I believe the church should be a prophetic community where you have prophets, prophetic people, where everyone receives prophetic ministry, including prophets. So if you're a prophet and you're always giving out, but you're never receiving, that's not good. Often it's because maybe you've developed your gifting, but others around you have not developed their gifting. And maybe because you're not in a prophetic community and you're isolated. I believe it's very dangerous for a prophet to be lonely and isolated. Look at Elijah. He got so discouraged because he felt he was the only one. And God said, I've got 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed to neither Baal nor kissed his feet. So I don't believe prophets should be isolated. I believe they should be respected, but also receiving prophetic ministry. Sometimes prophets can see things for everyone else, but not even see for themselves. And the reason I believe that is so is because God does not want us to think that we have everything. We need to depend, and we need to have the grace of other people in our lives as well. So thank you for that insight and question. That's a very good question. I believe it's the first time that I've had that one. Here's one. I've attended a few events where several women use the title prophet and not prophetess. Is it a matter of preference or how they were ordained? Well, often in the New Testament it says that God gave prophets. Prophetess is just the female term of prophet. So you can call a woman a prophet. You can call it a prophetess. It's really the same thing. We generally use the term prophet in our local assembly because God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so we generally say prophets. Prophetess can be used. It's a female version. Either one is okay. So I wouldn't make it depends on your church. It depends on the terminology of your church, the culture of your church, how your church ordains. We've had women to say, I want to be ordained as a prophetess. And we've had women to say, I want to be ordained as a prophet. So we do them both. But generally in our culture, we use the term prophet. Alejandro. Okay. I'm looking for Alejandro. Let's see. Okay, Alejandro. Let me select your question. I've been listening since Prophetic School 1 and praying. Since then, I have experienced a bubbling on the inside, but nothing happens. Do you think I'm too anxious? Not really. Maybe you're being stirred up. And, you're feeling a bubbling. There's nothing wrong with being excited. I mean, hopefully these messages are exciting people, exciting you. It's good to get stirred up. And it's good to stir up the gift of God that is in you. So I don't think you're being too anxious. Something is stirring on the inside of you. Let it stir. It needs to be released. You may need that word flowing. Remember, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, you know, if you listen to 10 lessons, that's 10 hours of teaching. You should be stirred up. If you're not stirred after 10 lessons, then I would say that probably something is wrong with you. I believe there's another one. Let me try this one. What should I do if you have followed protocol? Okay, how do you explain to someone who receives a wrong prophecy about the mistake? I think it is my job to care for the heart of the person. Okay, if someone has received a wrong prophecy, if it's off, remember, God uses human beings in the New Testament and we're to judge prophecy. And so sometimes people can make a mistake. It doesn't mean they're false prophets. It's just bad prophecy. So just, you know, we all have to judge what is spoken to us. We don't want to just accept everything someone says because it sounds prophetic or they say they're a prophet. And people sometimes need to, for lack of a better term, they need to relax. Sometimes Christians are too nervous when it comes to the prophetic because we're so afraid of false prophecy and so afraid it's not scriptural and, oh my God, this what am I going to do? Well, you know, if someone says something that's off, you just let it go, love the person, and live for God. I've heard bad prophecy, but I've heard bad preaching. It doesn't mean I stopped listening to bad preaching. I've heard good singing. I've heard bad singing. It doesn't mean I say I don't want to hear any more singing because I've heard bad singing. Listen, I've heard more bad preaching than I've heard bad prophecy, but I still love good preaching. So because a person hears a bad prophecy, tell them don't shut down prophecy. I would say for every one bad prophecy I've heard 99 strong and good ones. The good outweigh the bad more than enough. So just tell people to relax, pray, break anything negative. If you feel it was something negative spoken, if it was a witch or a warlock or somebody negative, just break the power of those words and just speak blessings and walk in faith, and you should be okay. Here's a one. What should you do if you follow protocol when giving a word to your pastor, both written and verbally, and your gift is not recognized or honored? Well, there's really nothing much you can do. If they told you to write it down and give it and you're not encouraged or it's not recognized, then chances are those leaders are not going to really release people in the prophetic. See, one of the problems with protocol is sometimes we use protocol as a way to stop the prophetic. We call it protocol, and we say, write it down or give it to me in private, and it's really a way to filter and censor the prophetic because we don't want any mistakes. It could be a way of controlling the prophetic. Now, I believe in protocol, but also believe in liberty and freedom. And sometimes leaders do this. They use protocol as a way of controlling the prophetic or stopping the prophetic so they don't. I write it, give it to them in secret, nothing done publicly. There's no public prophecy. There should be corporate prophetic prophecy in our churches. The church should hear the voice of the Lord. We don't have to write down everything and send it to a committee and send it to an assistant and check it in, and then maybe it's going to be released or received. You know, you can write down prophecy and give it to a leader, especially if the leader doesn't know the person. But if the leader knows you, they should be able to trust you, and if they've developed your gifting, for you to be able to release a word. So I would say, I would encourage you that, you know, if you feel your gift is being hindered and stopped and shut down, you really need to pray and see whether or not God wants you to remain in a place where your gift is shut down. I don't encourage people to leave churches unless they're being shut down, controlled, abused, or misused. But you have to move and obey what God gives you, and I want to encourage you to seek God and ask God for His wisdom in that particular area. Okay, thank you so much for that particular question. Let's see. My pastor, I'm sorry. Okay, here's a question about, someone is asking a recommendation in Central or Southern California that flow in the prophetic. Southern California, there's a church in Whittier, California that I'd recommend. It's a tremendous church. And it's pastored. Oh my God! I as much as I preach at this church, yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I'll get it in a moment. It's pastored by Jason and Kathy Guerrero, and it's called Regency Christian Center. It's a very prophetic church in Whittier, California. I would recommend you going there. I also would recommend you go to Timothy Alden's church, and I believe he's in North Hollywood, California, in the L.A. area. And his church is called City of Praise. Those are some of the churches I know. Another church that flows in the prophetic is Pastor Beverly Bam Crawford. Her church is in Inglewood, California. And they also Ship Church. And so those are some of the main churches I know of in the Southern California area that operate in the prophetic ministry. Hopefully those recommendations will help you. Let's see, I have had repetitive dreams since I was a child. Some of airplanes, bodies of water. Does it mean I'm prophetic? It could mean that. Often when people dream a lot, One of the ways you can tell whether you're prophetic is if you're attracted to the prophetic. If this excites you and attracts you, you know, whatever your gift and passion is, if it's evangelism, you'll be attracted to evangelism. If it's deliverance, you'll be attracted to deliverance. If it's healing, you'll be attracted to healing. If it's the prophetic, you love the dream realm, the prophetic realm. Though so it's possible that some people are very sensitive to dreams. Remember, Joseph was a dreamer. He told his dreams to his brethren. He was a prophet, and his brethren didn't understand him. But he was a dreamer, and so that is a sign that sometimes a person can be operating or called into a prophetic ministry. Apostle, my wife and I are in a prophetic ministry. My wife desires to be taught in this area. As a husband, how should I provide in this area? Well, I would encourage you, if your wife loves this, I would encourage her to get some training. I would find a place where I can get better developed, get around more prophetic people. I would encourage her to study and read and also teach this in the local church. Develop it in your ministry as a pastor. I really promote her and give her time to teach in places, times in the church where you can minister prophetically and operate in the prophetic, whether it's once a month, once a week. Make space for the prophetic. If you make space and honor this gift and honor this teaching and teach it and promote it and release it, it will develop in your life and you'll grow very quickly. So I encourage you to do that. Thank God for men who want to encourage their wives in prophetic. Here's a question. When does Crusaders prophetic class or reunion? At which location? Okay, we don't have reunions. We do have prophetic classes once a month, prophetic activation, usually the third Friday of each month at our 38th Street location. Once a month, I'm doing now a Tuesday night accelerated prophetic training. Now, as a matter of fact, tomorrow night, Tuesday evening, at our Tuesday evening service, we'll be having an accelerated prophetic training. If you're in the Chicago area, you can join me. That's April 29th, because this will be dated. April 29th, we'll be having a Tuesday evening prophetic training at 7859 South Ashland on the south side of Chicago at 7 p.m. Accelerated prophetic activation. So I'll be doing that probably once a month in our Tuesday evening service. And I usually announce that in our church or announce it on Facebook and Twitter when I'm about to bring or do one of those particular prophetic training classes. Okay, here's one. How does one tap into different prophetic realms in prayer? Is it a matter of getting in the Spirit? When you begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to pray in tongues, you begin to see ideas beginning to come to you, and God will begin to put things on your heart, often very prophetic things to begin to pray about. So I would encourage you by praying in the Spirit first, beginning to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, stir up your gift, get in the Spirit, and as you do that, you'll begin to move into English, and you'll begin to pray in your own language, and then you'll begin to tap into different realms or different things you need to pray about. You may sing your prayers, you can sing prophetically, you can pray your prayers, you can pray prophetic prayers, but it's a matter of sometimes the stronger you get in prayer and the more you stay in the Spirit, the deeper the realm will get. It takes time sometimes beyond 5 or 10 minutes to move into certain realms. And as you go deeper, you'll see different realms of the prophetic. As I say, singing prophetically, singing prophetic prayers, different subjects, different realms, warfare, different areas that you move into as you step into the prophetic. All right, will you be doing anything in the Florida area, Tallahassee? Well, we are planning on doing a prophetic roundtable, but it'll be in the Orlando area. So if you're in November, and I'll be announcing that. So we're just now planning to do that. So I know Tallahassee is a little way, not too far from Orlando, but we are coming to Florida hopefully in November to do a 3-day prophetic roundtable and gather people from all over Florida to encourage them and train them. And we also plan on going to California. We're planning on going to Texas, and we're looking at somewhere on the East Coast we're going to. Hopefully soon we'll have an area. We're looking at Dallas. We're looking at Los Angeles. We're looking at different areas around the country where we can actually take prophetic roundtables and gather prophetic people in those areas to come and to be a part of what we're doing prophetically. So just stay in tune. Here's one. I grew up around what I thought was prophecy, but now I realize it was a familiar spirit. I know there is a difference now, but I still feel a pull that all prophecy is related to the familiar spirit. How can I break this? Well, you probably need to receive some deliverance. If you grew up around people who operated in familiar spirits and witchcraft, I would receive some deliverance. I would have someone pray for me, command spirits, false doctrine, false teaching, familiar spirits, witchcraft, things you may have picked up in that church to be cast out. I would come against fear of false prophecy, fear of familiar spirits, doubt, unbelief, things that would hinder you from really receiving the word of the Lord, and get that stuff out of your life so that you'll be able to walk in faith and confidence, and then get around the pureness of the prophetic. Sometimes deliverance is necessary for us to walk in a pure prophetic flow. I encourage all prophets and prophetic people to go through deliverance. I'm going to be doing a teaching in the future on how, if you're going to flow in a pure river of prophecy, you need to get deliverance so that other things don't contaminate the prophetic flow. Okay, thank you. I'm going to just we have quite a number of questions. I'm going to do a few more, then we're going to pray and bless you. Do you think training for the prophetic in the marketplace business other than in the church? If so, what are the strategies bringing training to the prophetic in the marketplace? Well, I think that if you train people in the prophetic in the church, that when they go out into the marketplace, it should always function. I think what you're saying is we should not limit the prophetic to the church, and I agree with that. We just encourage people wherever they go that they can minister prophetically, because you'll meet people in the marketplace, on your job, when you begin to pray for them, you begin to minister to them, you begin to talk to them. If you're prophetic, God will begin to open things up and their lives can be changed. So I would encourage leaders, when you train people in the church, you emphasize the training to release them, but don't limit it to just doing it in church. Tell them that whenever this gift is stirred up and whenever it begins to operate in the marketplace, on the street, in politics, wherever it is, let it flow. It'll bless many people. So break the limit, the mindset that it's only for the particular church. Okay. Let's see here. I'm almost finished. If we come from out of state to receive the activation for the prophetic, do you personally do the activation? Yes. Well, I do the activations on Tuesday nights. On Friday nights, our prophetic teams do the activation. So I will be doing the activation tomorrow evening, personally, and then once a month I'll be doing it in our Tuesday night service at 7859 Ashland on the south side of Chicago. Our prophetic teams do the activations on the Friday evenings at 3821 South Michigan, which is usually begins at 5:45. So it depends on what service you come to, but I do a good job, and our prophets do a tremendous job as well. So you can really take advantage of either of those people. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you for your questions. Again, I want to encourage you, if you do not have this book, God Still Speaks, it is a book that I've written on the subject of prophecy, prophets, the local church, prophetic worship, prophetic presbytery, personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, and it is available if you just go to my website at johneckhartministries.com, and you can order this book, order it, read it, study it. Also on that same website, if this is your first time viewing Prophetic School, this is part 11. We have the first 10 parts available free of charge. You can view them. You can catch up. I believe there's something in those teachings that can help you understand the prophetic and really encourage you to move in this in a greater way. Also, don't forget our Impact Conference is coming up in June. We have 14 speakers, 4 musical guests. We meet every year. This one is Surge 2014, and you can register by going to impactnetworkconferences.com, impactnetworkconferences.com, or just go there. You can see the schedule, the speakers, the musical guests, and that's June 24th through the 28th, and that'll be in Maryville, Indiana. We've had some phenomenal gatherings. This is when all of our churches that were connected, we gather. There's prophetic ministry, there's deliverance ministry, there's praise and worship, there's teaching, there's preaching, there's fellowship. You meet other people who are flowing in the prophetic so that you will not be alone in this. You can connect with people from around the country, good solid ministries. And again, the website for that is Impact Network. That's IMPACT Network. ImpactNetworkConferences.com. And you can view and register for that particular time. I want to pray for you and bless you. Father, I thank you for everyone that has viewed Prophetic School, Part 11. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord is coming even to them now. And even the Lord says, I'm stirring you up and giving you even insight into the power of my word and the power of the prophetic ministry. For many have drawn back and say, I don't understand this ministry. I don't know much about it. And many have been afraid of it. But, oh, I begin to cause a new faith and a new confidence and a new boldness and a new assurance to come into your life. I begin to stir you up. And I do begin to release courage and strength into your life. The Lord says, it is my desire to strengthen you with my word. It is my desire to encourage you that you might be strong, that you'll not be held back by fear, intimidation, and doubt, that you'll obey the urging and the direction of my spirit that I'm telling you to do. And many shall step out the boat and walk on the water. Many that are hiding in fear, many that are saying, I'm afraid to step out. Oh, yes, you will step out into your ministries, into your careers, into your assignments, into your purposes, the things that I place inside of you, and they shall come forth in this hour. So be encouraged and know that this is a new day. For I'm causing my word to go out into the earth. I'm causing my word to be released quickly. I'm causing my word to be heard in many places. I'm causing my word to come alive in this hour, and I'm speaking to my people, courage and strength and boldness. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. I will not forsake you. I will go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. The door has already been opened. The way has already been prepared. I'm waiting on you. Don't be afraid anymore. Don't be afraid of what people think and what people say. But, oh, I will use you. I will defend you. I will bless you. I will promote you because you're standing on my word, and my word cannot fail. My word will not drop to the ground. So be encouraged, my people, and know it is a new day, a new season, a new time. I release my word unto you. Take courage. Be hopeful. Do not be discouraged or depressed, or do not draw back. I break fear and intimidation off of you, and I bring a new liberty into your life. I bring a new freedom into your life. Yes, my word comes now into your heart to strengthen you, and it's supernatural to build you up and to release you. And Father, I release that word upon those who are viewing this prophetic school. Father, I bless them. I speak grace, favor, peace, and shalom over their lives. And I thank you for everyone that is viewed this day, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. Go on my Facebook page and let me know how you enjoyed the program. And go to my website. Don't forget to order the book, God Still Speaks. Get it today. And also our upcoming Surge 2014 Conference in June. Hopefully next week, same time, I'll be doing part 12. And until then, as always, may shalom, peace, and favor, and grace be multiplied upon your life in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.